Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening.
The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Good evening. I would like to thank everyone for joining us this evening on the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Initial Conference Call. The Millions for Prisoners Human Rights National Organizing Committee would also like to send out a warm welcome. Again, thank you for joining us this evening. I do want to send out a special thanks to the I Am We Prison Advocacy Network for initiating and sponsoring this march. We do hope to contain this conference call to an hour's time. There will be times throughout the call for you to ask questions. In order to do that, please press 1 and your phone number will be added to our queue and we can bring you into the call. I am Crystal Roundtree, the chairperson for the National Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee, and I will just go ahead and say up front, I am a regular person, just like many of us here on the call. I am deeply concerned about the current state of things that we are facing here in this country, and I do am motivated by that to make some very important changes. In addition to myself, we do also have some other members who are part of the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee that are here on the line today. We have Layla Aziz, who is our National Radio Project Manager. We do have Malah Devine, who is our National Journalism and Publications Manager. We also have Christopher Black, who is our National Prisoners Organizing Committee Chairperson. Okay. And we also have Mama Condi on the line, who is our National Organizing Committee Advisor and radio co-host. We do have other radio project managers that are not present on the call today, but we do thank them as well for all of the support that they have offered this team as we have continued to organize. Please keep in mind that we are still a developing organization. We still have plenty of positions that will definitely need to be filled, and I'm hoping that we do have some listeners on the call this evening that will be willing to get in and assist as needed. From my understanding, Christopher Black does have a few words of welcome that he would like to share with our listening audience today.
Yes, I just want to also extend a warm welcome to everyone that is listening in right now and joining this conference call. I also want to extend a warm thank you to the GJU radio program for letting us in on this particular platform to be able to hold this conference call. I just wanted to remind everyone, like Crystal said, we are regular, ordinary people that are reaching out to try to galvanize the masses together as one to come together for a common cause. And this common call is the noblest of all causes at this particular moment. You know, we're carrying on the legacy of those that came before us that was fighting against the slave trade, fighting against the institutionalization of slavery itself, and we are continuing on that legacy. So once again, this is the noblest call of mankind, particularly for this day and time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. If there are any other National Organizing Committee members on the call that would like to welcome our callers, please feel free to jump right in. Otherwise, I will continue on with the meeting. Okay. Thank you very much. So first of all, I definitely would like to jump right in and explain to you all about the march and to give you a brief explanation of why we're even having it. The theme or idea surrounding the march, the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March, is to abolish the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which, as many of you may know, has allowed for the continued legalization of slavery here in America, and it also incentivized the prison industrial complex. For those that are unfamiliar with the 13th Amendment itself, I would like to take a moment to read it. There are two sections to this, and so I'll start with the first section. It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall, having been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And the second section says, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Now, from the inception of this amendment, it has been used just, you know, as it stated, for slavery and involuntary servitude for those convicted of a crime as punishment. Now, Black Americans in particular are aware of a whole host of laws known as Black Codes that were established post-slavery to criminalize and re-enslave them. Today, we find these same or similar enslavement codes being used on all Americans across color lines for profit in a box now called the prison industrial complex. And we are of the opinion that slavery was never truly abolished, but rather transferred from private plantations to the prison industrial complex. Now, just to name a few, we strongly feel that the ramifications of the 13th Amendment include things like mass incarceration and the school-to-prison pipeline, the privatization of prisons, and the harsh sentencing laws that we see, and also a lack of police accountability that has led to unchecked police terror in certain communities. And so as a result of these things, we now have a justice system that's based more so on greed and exploitation, and justice and rehabilitation are no longer the aim. Through this march right here on Washington, we will bring world attention to the continued slavery here in America. We're going to really empower the people through education to take action, and therefore pressuring our Congress to abolish the 13th Amendment. And at a minimum, we know that we will have an immediate impact on mass incarceration. And while we are climbing this mountain, while we are doing all of these things, while we're attacking the foundation of the prison industrial complex, we will simultaneously promote things like reentry and rehabilitation and treatment programs. And, you know, maybe some of this still doesn't make sense, and it's not clear for some how all of these things are related to you personally or ways that they impact your communities and your loved ones. But we strongly encourage you to get involved with your local community advocacy groups, research, read, do all that you can to really be aware, because that's a strong point here. We have the march, which is our demonstration, but we really encourage each and every one of you and even ourselves to take on the task to understanding this. So when we're out here in the communities and we're talking to people about the march itself, we can do that effectively. You know, it's our job to really connect the dots for people who this is unfamiliar to a lot of people. And so we understand that. So education is a big portion of this. Are there any other hosts on the line now that would like to say anything to that point?
I would definitely like to point out a few things, if I may. First of all, I just wanted to point out that the legalization of slavery in this country today has become so normalized to many that they actually do not see anything wrong with it at all. There's no acknowledgement that it even exists inside our system. Instead, we always point to the symptoms, you know, and not necessarily the cause. And this is definitely something that is a major problem in our society today. I would also like to point a few other things out, particularly as it relates to the prison class. In the prison class are those that have been incarcerated or in prison, those that are now out, or those that was former prisoners, or those that are on probation, parole. All of these people are still a part of the prison class. See, our current enslavement process in this country has ensured that those that are released are still one way or another chained to that system. So they are never actually free from the system. I would like to make a few points here. Inside the prisons right now, the effect of the 13th Amendment inside the prison has released a label. $200,000 $800,000 net worth, you know, on prison labor. You know, through this prison labor, it functions to maintain the prison operations. You know, this prison labor right here I'm speaking about, the net worth, the labor is usually relating to the gardeners, the landscapers, the people that maintain the basic functions of a prison. Their labor is paid anywhere between $250,000 to $800,000. It's a net worth of labor itself. You know, and most of the time for this work inside prisons, they may only earn 2 cents to 40 cents usually. It's very rare that we usually hear of the minimum wages inside the prison. And when you hear of minimum wages, usually it's for jobs that only that and inside of where we're at, we're usually run between $16 to up to $25 an hour, but inside they may be paid only minimum wages, and those are very few. But for the most part, they only pay 2 cents up to about 40 cents. That is average for their labor inside, you know. And for the prisoners that refuse to work, they refuse to work based on the prison policy. Usually they are subjected to immediate punitive punishment measures, usually. And these may go from a host from basic to a minor disciplinary for them that can run up their time period. It may end up going to even all the way up to time in solitary confinement for refusing to work. We've had many prisoners that have filed litigation behind this, and it has always bounced back to the basic that they are basically slaves or involuntary servants to the system itself. So they have. All right, Dan. I'm muted. All right. So just a continuation here, I'd like to also make another few points. Privatized prisons, they're only 10% of the prison market, but they network profits $7.4 million a year, per year, all right? Usually to the imprisonment cost itself for all the prisoners in this country runs a tab of $39 billion a year on taxpayers. Some have estimated that to be up to $80 billion. But what people don't talk about is the profits. The profits made off of prisons is $74 billion a year estimated. Now, also, another staggering number I must point out is that the U.S. only has 5% of the world's population, but yet we house 25% of the world's population, you know, of prisoners. This is the worst in angles of mankind's history. So I just wanted to point those two things out, and I will now yield the floor. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. If there are any other callers on the line or National Organizer Committee members that would like to speak to that point, please do so at this time. All right, thank you. Well, I will continue on. So next, I would like to speak just a little bit about how we're structured and how we're organized at this point. We have what we call the MPOC, which is our National Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee. And this committee is comprised of a diverse collective of individuals and representatives from various groups that have come together to plan and organize the upcoming march. This committee is responsible for ensuring that the mission and the vision are carried out effectively. They also provide oversight for the local organizing committees and all other subcommittees formed. In addition to the national committee, we have LOCs, which are our local organizing committees. And that's basically just, you know, simply as the name implies. These are organizing committees that are situated in local communities throughout the country. The LOCs provide direct interaction with members of its local community as it relates to the promotion, organization, and mobilization of this march. The LOCs will provide education, particularly on the impacts of the 13th Amendment and other laws that contribute to mass incarceration in their communities. We recognize and realize that these LOCs are absolutely critical to our organizing efforts. You know, we are promoting that heavily. We strongly encourage individuals and groups to form these LOCs because we understand that this is how we reach the masses on a more personal yet impactful level. We also want to add to their community. We want to these LOCs to serve as a resource for the people in the community. And so those will be a crucial portion of our organizing effort. And, you know, simply, these LOCs, they're not complicated. They can be as simple as three friends getting together and deciding that they want to form an LOC in their area. It could be a group that's already established. It could be a congregation. It could be a prison advocacy group. There are so many different combinations of ways that these LOCs can really be formed. But there is a process, and there is a packet of information, and, again, a process that's already in place and being used for those interested in forming a LOC in their area. Once your LOC has gone through that process, and, again, it is a simple process, there will be an official webpage created that lists the names and contact information for the LOCs that have already been certified. I did also want to add that if you're interested in forming an LOC or getting involved just in general, you can send an email directly to the Millions for Prisoners March newtonslawyer@gmail.com to receive additional information and registration forms. And just as a reminder, for those of you who have already started the process, please remember to return your registration forms. Next, I'll tell you about our POCs, which are our prisoner organizing committees. And after that, I will open up the lines for anyone who may have a question in particular or a statement or anything as it pertains to the MPOCs, the LOCs, how we're structured, how we're organized, and the POCs. But the POCs are our prisoner organizing committees. And these are prisoner-based organizing committees established actually within the prison system. And their purpose is for prisoners to educate other prisoners and for them to spread the word within the prison system and to get their family and their friends involved with what we're doing. And they have a unique access to people that we otherwise may not be able to reach. So I did just want to add that portion to it. At this point, if anyone has any questions about anything that was mentioned thus far, before we move on, I will go ahead and open up the lines. I'm sorry, people, please bear with me. I'm having a few technical difficulties here as I am still learning how to operate the software.
if I may add in right quick, right? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Let me add in right quick, dealing with
excuse me, Brother Black, your phone is going in and out.
Yes.
What about now? Can I be heard now?
Yes.
All right. I was saying that this is a good juncture for me to add in dealing with the POC. Myself and another brother, Bazi Saada, will be, I guess you could say, handling the POCs, the prisoners inside behind the wires, them, as far as handling their correspondence, as far as using them on a more organized level, full of how they join us. All they need is just three members, the same as the local LOC. We will have them as coordinators. Their job will mainly function as far as just ensuring that prisoners are informed. They would be our liaison. We would deal directly with them. They would get the paperwork or whatever we need to give them and have accurate information so they can make sure that these other prisoners forming their families and friends to what's taking place on the outside and ensure that their friends participate in the POC, in the march overall. So.
Thank you for that. Does anyone have any questions or statements or comments that they would like to make at this particular point as it pertains to our organization and structure? Okay. So I do have the lines open right now. Again, I am learning how to operate this software. I do hear some background noise. I will mute all the lines outside of the host and committee members. Again, if you do have a question, though, please press 1 on your phone, and I will receive some sort of notification, and I will be sure to get your call answered. Okay, moving right along. I did also want to mention that in addition to the formation of the LLCs, there are plenty of other ways that you can get involved. Most pressingly, what some of our immediate needs are, we need an event planner, project manager. This person actually plans the march, you know, the step-by-step, you know, portion of the march. We also are in need of a lobbying project manager, as well as a public relations project manager. So if you have those particular talents, skills, or interests, please contact either myself by emailing millionsforprisonersmarch@gmail.com or linking up with us on our Facebook page. We are very receptive to that. I did just want to also mention that, you know, this march here is really about the people. It's really about action. It's really about change. It's really about making things happen through this. And so we see this as a clear avenue for us to have the most impact. This march is absolutely going to be historic. You know, we are coming together and uniting to challenge the prison industrial complex collectively on a level that has never been done of this magnitude. We absolutely represent the prisoners and the families and the communities and the everyday Americans that continue to be victimized by the criminal justice system here. Again, we are about the cause and the success of the mission above all else. And so things that separate us, or traditionally do separate people, or different differences of opinions, et cetera, we will, you know, we're not going to allow those things to become a distraction for us, because we do understand that the mission is too great at hand for any sort of division. I did also want to let you know about some of the upcoming projects and things that we do have going on kind of behind the scenes. We do have an upcoming radio program, which will be called No Shackles Radio. That will begin airing the second week in August. And also our newsletter entitled No Shackles News, which will begin being mailed out into the prison system, slated right now for the 1st of September. And we will be sending out the newsletter electronically to all others. If you would like to add yourself or a prisoner or a loved one to our mail correspondence list, please, again, email that information to millionsforprisonersmarch@gmail.com. We have a lot of emails coming in, as you probably could imagine. So in order to help us sift through it and to be more efficient, if you are requesting to be added to the mailing list, please entitle your email Mail Correspondence. Most of our updates, you know, we will continue to have these regularly scheduled general conference calls, and they are, you know, rather general. So we will continue to have those to keep you all informed about what's going on. We do hope that you can, you know, you would get involved at another level, join one of our committees, our planning, our organizing committees, et cetera. Most of our updates, they are initially communicated through our Facebook page. And so we're growing. We just got our Twitter page up and running this week here. So if you haven't already joined that, please do. So I try to duplicate and send out communications both via Facebook and now Twitter. That's, you know, really what I wanted to say. I will take an opportunity again to check with the committee members as well as all other callers to see if you have things that you would like to say or add to the call.
The line open?
The line is open.
All right, then. I do apologize. My phone is kind of in and out right now. I just wanted to add in right now that once again, I would just like to thank everyone that's tuning in right now, that's paying attention to what's going on, that's planning on participating in the upcoming march. I definitely hope that you will be there. You bring your families and your friends and have them there in attendance. But most of all, understand this is just not just an event. It's not just a march. We're actually going to make a statement. We're going, once again, like Crystal said, we're going to pressure our local congressmen, pressure these people to get in there and do what it's going to take to abolish this particular amendment that's causing so much stress and harm in our communities in this country. I guess that's what I will have to say at this particular moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other callers on the line that have questions? We are at the end of, you know, what we wanted to share today. I do want to give everyone the opportunity, however, to ask any questions at this point. So I'll pause again for that.
Have you gotten to the part about the 13th Amendment yet?
Yes, ma'am, we have gotten to that portion, but if you have something you'd like to say about it, you're more than welcome to do so.
Did you read the 13th Amendment, exactly what it says in the law?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I think I missed that part. I was about 10 minutes late. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Right, well,
hi, Crystal.
Again, yes.
Hi, this is Layla Aziz from San Diego. How you
welcome,
doing,
Layla.
Thank
I'm
you.
Doing well.
I just wanted to. Good. I just wanted to say that throughout the past few weeks, I've been coming under an understanding more of how the 13th Amendment relates as far as the California law and how some of this is purposeful. A lot of the research I've been doing is tying to the gang injunctions, gang documentation, and gang enhancements. I am finding a trail of policy and from a local and state level that lead up to the enslavement of men of color in California. It starts with the sign that I'm finding from California, no blacks, no dogs, no blacks, and no Mexicans. You talked about the black codes in the beginning of this call. Then on to the lack of due process, which is a constitutional right that we don't have simply because of the areas we live in. A young man or woman is documented as a gang member. Then what they're utilizing to rip our communities from us are something called gang injunctions, so they can take people out of their neighborhood and regentrify the neighborhood by removing them. And if you violate that injunction, you are given a felony. So all of this ties into the 13th Amendment, where you go from absolutely no due process. You can't go to court and say you're not a gang member. You can't go to court and say you shouldn't be on this injunction. It's basically utilizing every law from local to state to then legalize this federal mandate of the 13th Amendment to basically make young men of color slaves. And I say that because this is a class issue too. But the research has shown only people that are on that gang injunction are black and brown and Asian men. So we have to do something. We are modern day abolitionists. And what's happening is purposeful. And we need to step, we need to look at our differences. We need to look at how these laws across the United States are affecting us all. And my hope is California is a big state. We need to be 100% on this national movement. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that, Layla. And, you know, Layla hits on a important topic, and, you know, this has been an interesting journey for me as well in terms of learning more about the 13th Amendment. I, like so many people, did not even realize this, you know, years ago. And the more that I have researched and looked and made the connections, I was actually amazed at how this ties into so many aspects that we have been fighting. You know, when you talk about prison reform, and, you know, we have people who do great work out here who go to exorbitant lengths to attack things like mass incarceration, you know, three strikes laws, mandatory minimums, you know, et cetera, police brutality. And it's interesting when you actually make the connection between all of those things. And we know that, you know, money rules. Money is the incentive. You know, there is profit. It's profitable to have our prison systems full. It's profitable to build more prisons and spend less on education. You know, we're finding now that social services, mental health care, for instance, those services that were generally provided at a community level, well, those are going away. People with mental health issues now live in the prison system. And so I think as we all continue to do our homework and our research and intentionally look for the relationship, it's easy to see and it's easy to find. Our job, though, is to convey this message to others. So many people that I come in contact when I'm trying to explain this to people is, well, that doesn't apply to me. You know, people do not think that this applies to them, and so it is of the utmost importance that we continue to learn ourselves, continue to make the connections for these people. And it's very interesting that even when I talk to and interact with prisoners, how many of them do not even know and understand about this 13th Amendment and all of the ramifications that fall up under that. So we are challenging that. We are challenging that. This is why we're here. This is what we're about. We want to empower the average person. You know, I think that when you tune into our radio program, you're going to find the people out here doing the work on these shows. You know, that's what it's about. This is truly a grassroots effort. We welcome all organizations. We are inclusive. And so if you're already a part of something, we're not asking people to leave and drop what they're doing in place of this. We're asking them to incorporate what they're doing into this right here, to come together for this common cause. Again, that's what I wanted to say about it. Any other callers on the line, anyone else with insider things that they would like to share at this point?
Hello?
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 Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello?
Somebody keeps saying
I can
hello.
Okay.
I had a question about outreach for the poor, since most people that are in the system, either inside or outside, are poor. How is this group going to get to them, to educate them, and how is what are the ideas to be able to bring a lot of people to Washington? Because the majority of people affected by this are middle class and poor. So that's what I was just trying to figure out, how the logistics of, you know, and what everybody else maybe can do to try to get to the poor who don't have internet access or anything else, you know, to get the most people as possible.
I'll take a quick stab at this question, and I do welcome anyone else who, you know, is knowledgeable about this to join in. But I will say that, you know, a part of our, I think most of that direct outreach will come from our local organizing communities. And within those local organizing committees, they're a whole team. You know, they devise things like they have fundraising activities, fundraising ideas. They're out there in the community. They're their own committee. And so within your committee, you come up with ideas and you strategize and you know, you really have that autonomy within your LOC to develop and devise methods. And certainly, you know, as the national committee, we share ideas. So we find out that in San Diego, they've got this fundraising idea or they found a way to generate funds that's really working for them and effective for them. Well, we'll share that with all of the LOCs throughout the country because that portion right there has been considered and thought about. So now we've got to hone down the specifics of how to make that possible.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening.
Hello?
Yes,
we hear you.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Pamela Nguyen. I'm an organizer of Reverse the Cycle of Incarceration. I'm located in Atlanta,
ma'am.
Georgia. And I wanted to, my first question is, do you have an active LOC here in Atlanta?
We do not have an active LOC as of yet in Atlanta. We do not.
Okay.
But we'd love to have one.
Well, I would love to get it started for you. So I'll email you regarding that. Also,
my next question is,
my organization has a lot of contact with federal inmates on the inside. Now, you know they do have email. If I pass on your email address, is there somebody, I know you probably get lots of emails, but their emails have to be, once they send an email, it has to be approved within so many days for them to actually physically be able to send an email. Is there somebody that will act, you know, in a timely manner, be able to address their emails to respond back, you know, to get them the approval?
I will let Brother Christopher Black answer that question. That would definitely be his area. He's over the Prisoners Organizing Committee, so I'll let you take that away. Chris, are you there? Okay, it looks like from my queue, his call got dropped somehow. But this is what I can tell you is we are very responsive with our emails. If you can let me know when you send me out the, you know, you and I can devise some sort of system if they could label their emails in a certain fashion, that would be helpful. So we can prioritize in terms of the timeliness. If you know the turnaround time, that would also be helpful. Say, for instance, if it's 24 hours or 48 hours or however long, if you know that information, please include that as well, and we will make every effort to make sure that, you know, their emails are being responded to in a timely fashion.
Okay. I can do that.
And he is back on the line.
Yes, I am. Well, I am, and I think you probably just answered that correctly, but just I had the phone hung up just now, but just so you know, the National Project Manager, POC, will be on that, so we'll be answering those emails back time.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, ma'am.
I have a quick question. For those, I have told my husband, I'm Shalonda from Louisville, Kentucky. My husband's in Missouri. And I'm trying to get a local chapter open myself, but I have some financial issues right now. But I have told my husband about it, and he's talking to some people in Missouri to see if they will want to do the strike and everything, be a part of it. The thing is, they get email to them, but they cannot send emails out. So do y'all have a physical address that some inmates could write to you all?
We absolutely do. We do have a physical email, I'm sorry, physical mailing address. I can either post that on our website or I can give it to you.
If we can, we probably want to give it out now. I do have it on hand if you want me to give it out now.
Okay, yeah,
okay, perfect.
All right, then first of all, it's a P.O. Box, and it is
okay.
P.O. Box 58201,
okay.
Raleigh, North Carolina, 27658.
Okay.
Once again, P.O. Box 58201, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27658. And on the title, please label this I Am We Prison Advocacy Network.
Okay.
And we do thank you, Shalonda.
Well, thank you very much.
Hello there.
Hello, greetings.
Hi, this is Kalika Baruti with George Jackson University, and just calling in solidarity, and also there was mention made that there will be correspondence, like the newsletters and different things going out, and also I guess the word was LOCs for those on the inside. It maybe was something else, but there will be like structured committees on the inside. And George Jackson University, we have quite a few students, probably about 300 now. And I would like to share that database with you all. If you could just request that you let them know that the contact is made on behalf of George Jackson University. And also, we have a wide, wide database of media contacts if you want to do like press releases. This is like...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like radio, news, and television. And we would like to share also our prison advocacy contact database with you all, too. So I just wanted to say that, and it's just in solidarity and to keep up all the great work that you all are doing, and we're definitely on board and are here to help however possible.
Thank you so much for that,
Sister Kalika.
Definitely.
So I will be getting in contact with you to see how we can get that information. We have got some great, great, great things in store. As she mentioned, those committees found within inside the prison system, those are our POCs, our prisoner organizing committees. And so we definitely, you know, we are of the firm belief that we want to involve the people that we represent. And so that's the backstory behind the POCs. But absolutely, join us on Facebook. We have email available, which again is millionsforprisonersmarch@gmail. Pretty much, you can send all types of emails there. However, again, if you are specifically adding yourself or your loved one to our monthly newsletters, please title that email Mailing Correspondence. Any other questions, comments, or statements?
I'm beating this 13th Amendment horse here. I think some of the ways that we can show the continuity of how the 13th Amendment criminalizes us is, for example, the Three-Fifths Compromise, Plessy versus Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a scholar, a sister, her name is Sharcy McIntyre. She's written a book called Criminalizing a Race. And I think that these might be some steps for those who may be struggling with comprehending the 13th Amendment and how it adversely affects us, I think those things might be helpful.
Excellent. Thank you so much for recommending those readings. And we will continue, you know, as you tune into our radio program, we, Mama Condi, she certainly is a great help to us, and she's, you know, very, has a lot of insight and historical perspectives on some of these things that we're now attempting to tackle. So thank you again for the recommendation of that book. All right, so any other questions or comments at this point? If not, I would like to prepare to end the call.
Mama Condi, one last thing. I forgot to add, I recommended two pieces of law and a book, and there's a third piece of law that's also connected. It's called Rex 84. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, again, people, it has been a pleasure to meet with all of you, to speak with you, to give you a little bit of information about the what's and the whys of this upcoming Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. We are very, you know, we're sure, we're confident, we feel that we've got the right formula here in place, but we cannot do this without you. This is a massive endeavor, and we need the people, and we need the prisoners, and we need communities, and we need you involved in this process. If your schedule allows, all you really need is a willingness to change this. But it is absolutely necessary that we have you involved in this process. I'm Crystal Roundtree. I want to thank you for your time. I will end the call at this point. We will stay tuned. Our radio program is coming up the second weekend. The second week of August. I think it's going to be an absolutely wonderful, educational, and entertaining and motivational radio program. So please stay tuned in for that. Get those emails. I want to send a special thank you for our National Executive Organizing Committee members who have worked tirelessly to come up with these plans. They are out here on the ground getting things done. I also want to send a special thank you to those on the call who have expressed interest in starting up the LOC in their area. Definitely appreciate it. With that being said, if no one else has anything else to say, thank you for your time, thank you for your evening, all power to the people.
Power to the people.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.